Please turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel.
Always good to be with you. Certainly glad to be here tonight. As Christians, we understand that there are very few things more important than preaching the gospel. In fact, outside of obeying the gospel of Christ ourselves and then living according to the gospel of Christ, there's nothing that we do that's more important than preaching the gospel to other people. And so tonight, just for a little while, we want to talk about that just for a few minutes. I want to preach a lesson simply entitled, We Must Preach the Gospel. And we want to emphasize in this lesson the title of that lesson, We Must Preach the Gospel. And so four things that we'll look at taking from the title. We begin by emphasizing the we part of it. We must preach the gospel. When it comes down to the success of this local church, we understand that it is not the responsibility of just one person or just a few people, but we together must preach the gospel. And I recognize that there in the church, or the church is filled with many different personalities, and every local church has some who are outstanding when it comes down to personal work. And sometimes that just has to do with personality. There's some people who like to talk to other people. They sort of have the gift to gab and that sort of thing. And they just talk a lot in general. And those kinds of people, even in the church, have to be a little bit careful because we can talk too much. But those kind of people with that kind of personality, generally speaking, are pretty good personal workers, because they're not shy and they're not afraid to talk to other people. But regardless of your personality, regardless if your personality is aggressive or maybe more passive, the fact of the matter is together we should all be preaching the gospel of Christ. And that's one of the reasons that we have come up with the cards that we pass out, because that really takes personality out of it. It doesn't matter if you don't have a real aggressive personality. It really doesn't matter if you're real comfortable with talking to other people or not. Anybody can hand a card to somebody and invite them to services. But the point of it is, we all need to be participating in that. We must preach the gospel. It's not just one or two. And in fact, that is true, just generally speaking, when it comes down to the work of the Lord. In all of the things that we do as a local church, all of us ought to be participating. If we're going to be successful in anything that we do, the more members we can get involved in that endeavor, whatever it is, the better off we will be. But certainly that is true with regard to preaching the gospel. But it's always a joint effort. It's always a joint participation, or at least it should be. Notice, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There are several passages, of course, that speak to us about preaching the gospel, because the gospel, the preaching of it, is so critical with regard to Christians and local churches and just the universal church as a whole. And so we see in almost every epistle in the New Testament emphasis in one place or another in preaching the gospel. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 23, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. Notice that Paul didn't say I, he said we preach. And that's important. Everybody needs to be involved in the preaching of the gospel. Notice what is preached, of course, he emphasized, we preach Christ crucified. We don't just preach ourselves, we preach Jesus Christ. He has to be the focal point. He has to be the focus of our preaching. But we preach. Notice over in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And at verse 5, it says, What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. And so we know right away that Paul is dealing with the preaching of the gospel. He says, as the Lord's assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Look at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. There's the we again. And I know he's talking about something specific there, the idea of planting and watering, but we, congregations that are successful, are congregations that work together and can get as many members as possible involved in the carrying out of the work, whatever that work is. But tonight we're talking especially about the preaching of the gospel. We need to be preaching the gospel. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, was talking about preaching the gospel. He is actually quoting scripture here. Psalms 119 at verse 10, I believe, is what he quotes. But notice in 2 Corinthians 4 and at verse 13, he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. Again, that's Psalms 116. But then he says, we also believe. So he quotes Psalms and then he makes application to them. He says, we also believe and so we also speak. And so again, it's more than one person. It's Christians working together and what is the greatest work we could ever be involved in. And that again is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and at verse 1, it says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We don't have the word we there, but there's the idea, working together. And that's what we are. We're laborers together. We should be working together in the preaching and the spreading and the disseminating of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. And so we must preach the gospel. But then think about the second word in that title. We must. And I think sometimes we overlook that. I don't know if it's something that you're subconscious or whatever it is, if we really realize it, but in our minds, in our hearts, sometimes we devalue the idea of preaching the gospel to something that is less than absolutely necessary. And the fact of the matter is, as I've been saying, preaching the gospel is one of the greatest works we could ever do. It's one of our greatest responsibility after obeying the gospel and living by the gospel of Christ. It's telling other people about Jesus. And so we must do it. It's not optional. I often point out, it's just really kind of amazing how sometimes we elevate different things. Like even myself, as we talk about not forsaking. We talk about that a little bit this morning even. And that's something you always hear preachers preach about. And members emphasizing, don't forsake the assembly. And yet, there's only one passage in all the Word of God that says that. And I'm not devaluing that at all. Obviously, we talk about it a lot because it is important. It is sin to forsake the assembly. But just one passage that talks about that, and yet we have passage after passage that emphasizes preaching the gospel, and somehow we get into our minds, that's optional. But it's not optional. We must preach. And that really is the emphasis of the scripture reading that was read for us by Joe just a while ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and at verse 16, once again, 1 Corinthians 9, and at verse 16, Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I've pointed out many times, even in our class on 1 Corinthians, that Paul is dealing with something that's a little particular to him. You remember, of course, his conversion in different places, Acts chapter 26, Acts 9, and other places, where he was directly called by Jesus to be his apostle. And so he really had no choice other than, I mean, he wasn't forced to preach the gospel of Christ, but if he would have refused to give his life over to the preaching of the gospel, he would have been disobedient. You don't have to give your life over to preaching the gospel. It doesn't have to be your full-time job, so to speak. But all of us are under the obligation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as we can, however we can do that. We must preach the gospel. And what Paul says about himself surely is applicable to us from the standpoint of woe is unto us if we preach not the gospel. And, of course, we think of the Great Commission that we're all familiar with. And there's one of the many passages that emphasizes there are many passages that the principle certainly implies that we have no choice but to preach the gospel of Christ. But in the Great Commission, it is directly stated that this is a responsibility that we simply can't dodge if we want to go to heaven after a while. Verse 18, and Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then what is applicable to us, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, including going and preaching the gospel to all nations. So this wasn't just applicable to the apostles. It is applicable to all of us. Every child of God must be involved in the preaching of the gospel. And that's why, again, I appreciate those little cards that we have, because you can, regardless of who you are and what your ability in talking to other people is, we all can do that. And remember the we part of it. Every member here at Brown Street should have one of those cards. I'm not including, of course, the shut-ins and that sort of thing. But all of us certainly here tonight, we all ought to have those cards on us and ready to give it to somebody and simply invite them to come to our services here at Brown Street. And you can fulfill your obligation in that. And if you can do more than that, if you have the kind of personality that you freely talk to other people, and go ahead and do that. And we need that kind of activity, but we can all pass out those cards. But it's a must. It's not an optional thing. Every child, it doesn't matter if you're a babe in Christ or a seasoned saint. Everybody, every Christian is under the obligation to preach the gospel to those who are lost. We must. But notice the third thing. We must preach. And that's important. To preach simply means to announce the glad tidings. And we're under obligation to do that. That's the specific in it. That's the action that we're talking about. We must preach. We must be willing to announce the glad tidings to those who are lost. We all have many different obligations as Christians. As I said in the very beginning, our first obligation as an individual is to obey the gospel of Christ if we want to go to heaven. And then after that, it is living by the gospel of Christ. In fact, I would suggest to you that if you're not willing to live by the gospel of Christ, you have no business preaching the gospel to anybody else. In fact, look over at Acts chapter 1 just for a second. In Acts chapter 1, I like the order of things that are stated there with regard to Jesus. Acts chapter 1 and at verse 1, it says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now notice that. That Jesus began first to do and then teach. And I don't know if Luke was really emphasizing in his own mind had the order of it, but that is the proper order. Jesus went about doing and then he went about teaching. And that should be the order with regard to us. We have to be about the business of doing. We have to be about the business of living according to the gospel of Christ before we can start teaching. At least that's the way it should be. But then we have, within the bounds of that doing, there's all kind of responsibility of having the proper kind of faith and the proper kind of holiness and godliness. And that includes all of the responsibilities that we have, from being faithful Christians and active members of the local church to being good husbands and wives and fathers, and all of the responsibilities that we have as outlined by the gospel of Christ. We ought to be involved in the doing of all of that. But the truth of the matter is, just because you're doing well with regard to those things, that doesn't mean that you don't have the obligation to do well with regard to announcing the glad tidings to those who are lost. Well, preacher, I'm a wonderful husband. That's great. And I hope every husband here tries to be the very best husband you can possibly be. I hope all of us excel as husbands in that regard. But that doesn't remove your obligation to announce the glad tidings. But I'm a faithful, active member of the local church, and I participate in the public service if I'm a man, and do all of those kind of things, and that's wonderful, and we need that. But it doesn't replace announcing the glad tidings. Sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe I don't tell anyone else about Jesus verbally. Maybe I don't pass out the cards like I ought to. But I teach people by the life that I live. I preach the gospel indeed. And as I've just said, that's significant. That ought to come before you preach the gospel with words, and before you open up your mouth and you begin to speak. But the fact of the matter is, sooner or later, you have to open up your mouth and you have to speak. You have to tell other people about Jesus. I've always appreciated over in the book of Acts once again, in chapter 8, the very familiar story that we have of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And certainly we have read that many times before. And you remember down at about verse 34, it says, or back up just a little bit, verse 29, let's start there. It says, "And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him, and he heard them reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation Jesus was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told the good news about Jesus. What did he do? He announced the glad tidings. But I like the language there. He opened his mouth. The King James, he opened his mouth and preached. And that's what we have to do. Now, technically, again, you can pass out cards or whatever the case may be, but you have to spread the gospel more than just living the right life. That's where it begins, but it must not be where it ends. We must preach. We must open up our mouths, so to speak, and let people know about Jesus Christ. And then the final thing in the title is, we must preach the gospel. And so we understand there's a specific message that we have to preach. It has to be the gospel of Christ. And when I think about that, there's two things that come to my mind with regard to the gospel of Christ. Number one, we must preach only the gospel. And that's the only way that we can help anybody. You remember the familiar passage, of course, in Galatians. Turn over there just so we can get that in our minds. Galatians chapter 1. This certainly was the emphasis of Paul in this important passage. Beginning at verse 6, he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. But now watch. He says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And so there were some that were preaching something. It was something that they were calling the gospel, but Paul said, it's really not the gospel, because there's only one gospel. And that's the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But not only that, it involves the instructions that have to be preached, the hearing and believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's the gospel, and that's what we have to preach. And if we don't, he goes on to say, that if we preach anything else, even if it's an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach unto you, let him be accursed. And it's so important, he repeated it, as we have said before. So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you'd received, let him be accursed. So we must preach only the gospel. That is, of course, a very important element of all of this. But we must also preach all of the gospel. And that's important too. And that's where a lot of times individuals fall short for whatever reason. Don't want to offend people. Don't want to make anybody mad. And so you begin to compromise. Some people will do like they did here in Galatia and add to. The Jews were adding to the gospel. In their case, adding circumcision. You have to be circumcised and keep certain aspects of the law of Moses. But sometimes there are Christians today who will hold back certain things, not preach all of the gospel because it might be offensive to people. And that won't do either. That's just as bad as adding to it. We have to follow in the steps of Jesus. One of the things that Jesus, you know, when he was here on earth, he always told the people what they needed to hear, not just what they wanted to hear. I think of Matthew chapter 15, I believe it is. Let's turn over there just for a minute. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, at verse 12, it said, "And then the disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" They didn't like what Jesus was preaching. He preached the word. That's all he ever preached, of course. He preached those things that were given to him of the Father. But it turns out that there were some people, the Pharisees namely, who were offended by what he was saying. Listen to verse 13. "He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And so as we go through that, Jesus really didn't compromise at all. He made it a little harder. But the point of it is, he gave the people what they needed. That's what Paul emphasized to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over there. Paul understood what the temptation would be for those who are preaching the gospel of Christ. So at verse 1, he says, this is 2 Timothy 4, and at verse 1, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Why? "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths." Look at verse 5. "As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Well, someone says, "But I'm not an evangelist." Maybe not. But still, when it comes down to the disseminating of the gospel of Christ, the spiritual seed of the kingdom, we have to preach it all, even if it is offensive to some people. We can't hold back just because we think either people will be mad, or maybe I know of situations where people won't declare the whole counsel of God because they think it will be offensive to someone who's a prospect, and then they won't obey the gospel. And that doesn't help anybody. Sometimes we just have to be straightforward. There's times when I have preached the gospel to individuals, told them the truth, and I realize going in that when they hear this, there's a good chance they're going to be offended and never come back. And there have been times when I've been surprised that they have come back. And there have been other times when what I was thinking is exactly what happened and we never see him again. But we must declare the whole counsel of God. That, of course, in the book of Acts is exactly, in chapter 20, that's exactly what Paul was willing to do. And he emphasized to them, this is what we did when we came in among you. We declared the whole counsel of God, and that's a part of preaching the gospel. Even when people don't like it, we can't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But this is something that we must do. If we're going to be successful here at Brown Street, we must preach the gospel. And I hope that we'll do that. I think that we're making strides in that regard, and we're striving to become better, but we must constantly keep this before us. We want to be an evangelistic congregation. We want to reach as many souls as we can, because again, outside of obeying the gospel and then living by the gospel of Christ, nothing's more important. You don't do anything in your life more important than preaching the gospel of Christ. Let's be a people known for that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, why not now? We mentioned in passing what you have to do: hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And you have to do that not because some man at some point in time stood on a stage and pointed to his fingers. You have to do it because the Word of God says you have to do it. Baptism, as we have often pointed out, is the place where your sins are forgiven, Acts 2 and at verse 38. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have to be baptized. Your sins will not be forgiven unless you are. It's in the waters of baptism that God performs that spiritual operation and cuts away that old man, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. If you need to be baptized, why not tonight? You're a child of God not living right. Why not do what Peter told Simon to do in Acts chapter 8? Repent and pray God. If you've sinned publicly, come forward. Have the courage to come forward. We've had several to do that, and it's very encouraging to us. And we want to pray for them, and we'll pray for you if you'll come forward and encourage you and help you in any way that we can. But do what you have to do. Don't leave tonight in an undone condition. You might not have another chance. Come forward as we together stand and sing.